he does for me.
Truly, this morning we have so much to thank Him for. I mean, we don't have to be here this morning. We could be in a lot worse place. We could be in a mess this morning. And some of you might say, well, I am in a mess. I got a lot of things going on, ain't I? Amen. But you're in God's house. Amen. Under God's care. Amen. And God is able. This morning, I want to share with you again. I shared this morning before Sunday school, but as she was singing that song, I felt the need that, amen, I might need to share this again because it is Thanksgiving and we do need to be thankful. And we've got a lot. Now, sometimes I know we feel like that, you know, we may kind of get the mully grubs and we forget about what we have to be thankful for. But I shared this morning. And Matthew Henry, one of the great preachers and Christian writers of years gone by, was heard to say this prayer on the very night in which he was robbed. And he said, "I thank thee first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Amen. Because the grace of God had visited him many years before. And amen, he wasn't in that place anymore. And amen, this morning we can We can be thankful that if we're a child of God, we can be thankful that we're not in that place anymore. Amen. That we don't live there anymore, but we've been delivered. We've been brought out from darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. Of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to try to preach to you this morning from the book of Nehemiah, chapter, amen, Nehemiah chapter number 2. And amen, if my voice will hold out and let me, we gone. Amen, I'm not sure that I'll be able to preach to 1 o'clock, but amen, I think I heard somebody say, I hope not. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 9, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Amorite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning for your blessings, and we just ask you to help us this morning. Pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would help us that we might, Father, preach your word and be an able minister of the word of God. And we just ask you to help us this morning how we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. The walls of Jericho had been broken down. The gates were burnt and it lay in waste, the city. And Nehemiah was grieved for the situation of the city and all that was taking place. He was in captivity, but he made requests to the king to go and to repair the walls and to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I mean, he made that request to the king. And the king, in the text that we read, it lets us know the king granted his request. I mean, he sent him with letters back and he said, go. But it says also that there was two men that it named, Sanballat and Tobiah, his servant. It said that these men were not happy. Matter of fact, it says in our text that they were grieved exceedingly. What grieved them? It grieved them exceedingly that there was a man that was sent and had came back to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. A man that would come back to seek the welfare of God's people. It grieved them exceedingly. They were the enemies, not just the enemies of the people of God. Amen. They were the enemy of God. Amen. Amen. They didn't love God. And when we look at these men, Sanballat, it said the Horonite, his name means enemy in secret. Enemy in secret. Now, Tobiah, his servant, his name means the Lord is good. Kind of a little twist there. We might not would expect that would be, but that's the definition his name means. And I want to look this morning, and first of all, I want to say that these names remind me of a couple of things that I want to share with you. First of all, when you see the name of Sanballat and it says enemy in secret, it reminded me that we have an enemy, amen, the old devil. And it reminded me that the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober,
Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. An enemy or a foe, one who has enmity in his heart. Boy, this was Sanballat and Tobiah. They had enmity in their heart. They were grieved exceedingly that there was one that was coming to do God's work. So they didn't like it. Sanballat had enmity in his heart. And amen, he did not want to see God's people prosper. He didn't want to see the situation change. He wanted things to be as he wanted them to be. The definition of his name, enemy in secret, reminded me of what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 14, where it tells us, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see, Sanballat's name means enemy in secret. Enemy in secret. Now this angel of light, that he is an apostate angel who is malignant, who is wicked, and is the prince of evil, yet he assumes the identity as a holy angel, a bright angel. Amen. And what he looks like and what he is are two different things. He's an enemy in secret, an enemy in disguise. And that's, amen, the definition. He assumes the appearance of a holy angel, but amen, he's far from holy. He's far from holy. And Sanballat, amen, he was far from holy. Amen. He didn't want any good to come to the children of God. He didn't want any good to come. He didn't want God's ways to be brought back. Amen. He didn't want the Ten Commandments put up in the courthouse. He was against everything that God had and was doing. But then we see Tobiah. And his name means the Lord is good. When I read that and look in it, reminded me that not everyone lives up to their name. Not everyone lives up to their name. You see, even Scripture tells us that there's coming a time and a day that Jesus is going to say to certain ones, those that do not know him, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Amen. And they're going to protest and proclaim that we did this and we did that in your name. But amen, they did not love God. They were not the children of God. The Bible tells us there was a church, Sardis, in Revelation 3 and 1. And when Jesus spoke to them, here's what he told them. He said in chapter Revelation 3 and verse 1, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. You've got a name, but he said the name says that you're living, that you're alive, that everything's well. But he said, but you're dead. You're not well. Tobiah's name may have meant the Lord is good, and amen. And truly the Lord was good, but Tobiah was not. Amen. His heart was not right with God. He also, just as Sanballat, was grieved at the prospects of any good coming to the children of God. Amen. It grieved him that God may be doing a work and things might be going to change. Amen. There's a lot of folks today that's grieved at the very fact that Christians, that God would try to make a difference in this world for the better. Amen, because that's not what they want. That's not what they desire. Amen, they desire for things to go as they continue. They want things to be the way they want them to be and not be better, not get better. So these names reminded me of this. And then secondly, I thought, who is opposed to help? Who is opposed to help? Well, in our text, Sanballat and Tobiah were opposed. They were opposed to help. There are many today that are opposed to any help for right, for the people. They're opposed to help. Now, I had a lady this week here in the county that she was passing out some turkeys, and she had got with me, and she gave me some to hand out a few. And she said something about, and she made a statement. She said, "I don't think anybody would refuse a turkey." And I told her, I said, "You're right for the most part. I've only had one in my years that I know that just outright refused, and it wasn't this year. It's been a good long time back. But amen, they didn't want no handout from the church. They didn't want no help. Amen." And see, and so you think, who is it that opposes? Well, Sanballat and Tobiah, they were opposed to help. They were opposed to things getting better for God's people. Now see, they wasn't opposed to getting some relief, getting some help, their help. But see, their help was worldly help. They wanted to prosper their way, and amen, and to push God's people and God's ways farther and farther out of sight. But amen, they didn't want any real help. And see, there's a lot of people today that don't want any real help. Amen, they want to take and put a Band-Aid on the cancer. Amen. We'll just put a Band-Aid on, and guess what? Amen. It may help for a day or so. There may be some help there in the short term, but amen, it's not real help. It don't get to the heart of the matter. It don't get to the core issues. So we think about who would oppose help. But see, here's something else for us to think about, because it might surprise you to find out that it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in verse number 25, it begins, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You see, here in Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy, in meekness, give instruction to those that oppose. Who are they opposing? They're opposing themselves. You mean we don't even want any help for our own selves? Well, many times people don't see it as help because, I mean, the devil's got them blinded and they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they are opposed to help. And I'd venture to say that there's not many people in the world that at some point or another have been the biggest opposition to themselves. You know, we've probably heard this statement, and it applies to every one of us, no doubt, at some point in time in our life, when it said, you know, so-and-so can't even get out of their own way. I mean, you know what they're saying right there? They're saying they're opposing themselves. If they could just get out of their own way, there's help to be had. But they can't do it. They stand in opposition to their very self. And so there is much opposition in the world. There's the enemy again. Because to those that oppose themselves, it talks about being taken captive by him at his will. And that old enemy, the devil, what's he do? He sets a trap. And he sets that trap to ensnare and to catch. And Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 7, "Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastening to a snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life." That it is for his life. You see, this is what many don't realize in this world that we're going through now. We're passing through one time. But I want to tell you this morning, the devil, amen, he's playing for keeps. Amen, he's playing for keeps. And this verse says that the bird, he don't know. He goes to that snare, that trap, until, Amen. The dart strikes through his liver. Amen. And it's over. He don't realize that it's a trap. He don't realize it's a snare until it's too late. And amen, there's too many this morning that don't realize the trap or the snare until it's too late. They're called until this life is over and it's too late. The rich man, amen, and the story of the rich man and Lazarus, as Lazarus was the beggar, amen, the rich man and the beggar, as he prayed because he had five brothers. It was too late for him. The trap had already been sprung and he had already lived out his time in his life. And he didn't want things. He thought everything was as good as it could get. Amen. Until the trap was sprung. But then he prayed and he said, Father Abraham, he said, just send, if Lazarus, if one went back from the dead, then, amen, they would believe. But amen, Jesus, amen, he did come back from the dead. And you know what? They didn't believe. The opposition. It says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 8, it says, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. You see today, some say, well, you know what? It don't matter who's in charge. It does matter who's in charge. It does matter who we follow. It does matter the leaders that we have. Amen. When you have men like Sanballat and Tobiah, amen, because they were in the very opposition to the children of God. And there's a many today that's in very opposition to God's children. But amen, the third thing that I want us to notice in this text verse is there was somebody. There was somebody who cared. There was somebody that it mattered to them about the walls, about the gates, and about the people. Amen. In Jerusalem. It was in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, and we just read a couple of verses. Nehemiah is getting a report when he first gets this report. In verse number 3 of chapter 1, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah inquired, he will know what the situation was. And they said, Nehemiah, the walls is down, the gates are burned, the city is in waste, the people are in great affliction and reproach. And Nehemiah, it says many days, he was moved and he began to weep and about the situation and to fast and pray before the God of heaven because it mattered to him about his home country. It mattered to him about the people of God, those that he loved. God help us. So many things happen in this life to us sometimes, and we become, even as Christians, we become callous to things, and it's hard for anything to move us to pray and to do as Nehemiah did. But amen, Nehemiah was moved. His heart was broke for the people of God. And amen, and he prayed, and I pray, God, help us, that sometimes, amen, we need our hearts broken for those that are in affliction and reproach, that their lives are torn down and in destruction. Amen. And it looks like that there is no hope. But Nehemiah knew this. There is hope. There's help. There's help. And it mattered to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah made arrangements and he went back. And it was the enemy that was grieved exceedingly that there came a man. And his primary goal, amen, his primary goal was to come and to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Can I tell you this morning, there's one that's come to help. Amen, that there is one that has come. The report is in. And the report was this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. This covers us all. If we have any doubts, we can read verse 23 of chapter 3 where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were in great affliction. We were troubled. Because sin makes a ruin of anyone's life. And we were all under sin. We all needed deliverance. And what happened? God sent His Son. For God so loved the world. You see Nehemiah, he asked the question and he found out the situation. And boy, because the love he had for them, his heart was broke. And because of the love that God had for us and his heart being broke, he sent his only begotten Son into this world. Amen. Into our brokenness, into our affliction, into our reproach. And amen, he came and he lived and he died for us. You see, he would have been God no matter. He was still God. He wasn't in need of anything, but I was in need of everything. And he came. Nehemiah went back to see what he could do to build up the walls, and Jesus came, amen, to restore what we lost, amen, in Adam, in the beginning. And you see, this morning, this is our Thanksgiving message, that somebody cared enough to come help. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that God loved us enough? Amen. To send His Son. That Jesus came to help. And boy, I look there at those verses about Nehemiah, because it said that when Nehemiah heard these words, that he wept. I got three verses here. I want to read to you about Jesus, because in John chapter number 11, here's what it says. John chapter 11 and verse number 35. In our English Bible, it is the shortest verse in the Bible. It's just two words. And it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. If you look over in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, and verse number 41 and 42, it said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. And he wept over it. Amen. He's weeping over the same city that Nehemiah wept over. Amen. Jerusalem. He wept over that city in Luke 19 and 41. And in verse 42 says, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at the least in this day, this thing which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. See, Jesus, he came and he stood and he wept over the city of Jerusalem, because they didn't know. They stood in opposition to themselves. Pilate looked truth right in as close to it as you could get. Amen. Eyeball to eyeball. And he said, what is truth? And it stood there looking him back in the face. He was in opposition to himself. Amen. The city, the people. What did they say to do with Jesus? They said, crucify him. What did he come to do? He come to help. He come to restore what they had lost. But amen, they thought they were fine. And then it tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, in verse number 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. See, there's three times in three places the Bible tells us about Jesus that he wept. He wept as he stood there at the tomb of Lazarus before he raised him from the dead. He wept. He stood and he looked out over the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible said that he wept. And amen. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he bowed his knee to the Father and praying, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. His sweat coming as great drops of blood. And this verse lets us know here in Hebrews, amen, that with tears and with cryings he wept. Amen. Who was he weeping for? He was weeping for us. He was weeping for me and you. And Nehemiah was weeping. Amen. He was weeping that they might be some help had. And amen. And God granted Nehemiah that he could go and rebuild the walls, that he could go and help. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus came to offer me and you help. Amen. There was one that came seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. And amen, this morning there's one that has came that's been seeking my welfare and your welfare. His name is Jesus. He came seeking our welfare. In Luke chapter number 19, we read this. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I hope you're thankful today that Jesus came into this world to seek your welfare and to restore what Satan had destroyed and what Satan thought he had destroyed forever. You see, Sanballat and Tobiah, here's what they wanted. They wanted the things of God that had been destroyed. Amen. They wanted them to stay destroyed. They wanted to be that way forever. Boy, it grieved them exceedingly that somebody would come to try to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Amen. And amen. And the old devil, Jesus, came into this world. Amen. Grace and truth came, and as Jesus came to the end of his ministry, the old devil thought, we're going to crucify him and we're going to end this once and for all. But amen, but he couldn't. Death couldn't keep him. It couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. Help has come. The enemy has been defeated and help is available if we desire help. There was a man that he lay by the pool waiting for the troubling of the waters. And as he lay by that pool for the troubling of the waters, he said he didn't have any man to help him. And somebody came before him and he couldn't get there. But Jesus asked him a question. Jesus asked him this question. He said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, do you want some help? Do you want some real help? Because Jesus said, amen, I got some help. I've came for the welfare of the children of men, and I can help. And this morning, amen, I don't know where you are, don't know the need, but I know this. Jesus can help. Jesus can help. If you'll stand with us this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. If you need help this morning, if you need to take a minute and come to the altar and pray, while we wait just a minute, I pray you come.